ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೆವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೆವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೆವಾಯ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಹಂಸ ಗುಹ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 7. ನಾಂ ದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗಾಂ ದಿನೇಭ್ಯೋ ದ್ರೋಗ್ಧುಂ ಅರ್ಹತಾಂ ವಿವರ್ದ್ಯಾಯಿಷವೋ ಯೂಯಂ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಂ ಪತಯಾಂ ಸ್ಮೃತಾಂ ನ ದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗಾಂ ನ ದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗಾಂ ದಿನೇಭ್ಯೋ ದ್ರೋಗ್ಧುಂ ಅರ್ಥತಾಂ ವಿವರ್ದಾಯ ವಿಷಯೋ ಯೂಯಂ ಪ್ರಜನಂ ಪತಯಾ ಸ್ಮೃತಾಂ ನ ದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗಾಂ ದಿನೇಭ್ಯೋ ದ್ರೋಗ್ಧುಂ ಅರ್ಥತಾಂ ವಿವರ್ದ್ಯಾಯಿಷಯೋ ಯೂಯಂ ಪ್ರಜನಾಂ ಪತಯಾ ಸ್ಮೃತಾಂ ನ ದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗಾಂ ದಿನೇಭ್ಯೋ ದ್ರೋಗ್ಧುಂ ಅರ್ಥತಾಂ ವಿವರ್ದ್ಯಾಯಿಷವೋ ಯೂಯಂ ಪ್ರಜನಾಂ ಪತಯಾ ಸ್ಮೃತಾಂ ನ ದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗಾಂ ದಿನೇಭ್ಯೋ ದ್ರೋಗ್ಧುಮರ್ಥತಾಂ ವಿವರ್ದ್ಯಾಯಿಷವೋ ಯೂಯಂ ಪ್ರಜನಾಂ ಪತಯಾ ಸ್ಮೃತಾಂ. ಮಾತಾಜಿ ನದ್ರುಮೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗ ಅರ್ಧ ವಿಷಯ ಓಕೆ ನಾಮ ನೋಟ್ Drumebhya, the trees, Mahabhaga, O greatly fortunate ones, dinebhyam, who are very poor, drogdhum, to burn to ashes, artatham, you deserve, vivarda yishavam, desiring to bring about an increase, yuyam, you, prajanam, of all living entities who have taken shelter of you, patayam, the masters or protectors, smritam, known as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. Purport. It is indicated herein that the government or king has the duty of protecting not only the human beings, but all other living entities, including animals, trees, and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adishitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadara Shisari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Nadrumebhyo Mahabaha Dinebhyo Drugdama Tatam Vivardya Vishayo Yuyam Pragyam Pata Yasmritaham. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. So it's an interesting verse, as every other, of course, in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very instructive as well. Because here we find that the duties of the leaders or the authorities of any kind in this particular verse have been addressed as to protect those who are dependent on them. As we have heard earlier in previous verses, especially beginning of this particular chapter, these are the prayers which Daksha is offering to Lord Vishnu in order to increase the population of the universe. So he's, although he had been engaged and he had been expert, that which his very name suggests, Daksha, in such kind of activities, still he found that the activities and the duties that have been assigned to him have not been properly and actually developing, taking place as such. So he decided to perform further on austerities. And it is interesting, it is said, Prabhupada is pointing out in the summary, that Daksha took sannyas in order to perform various kinds of activities so that again he will be able to procreate furthermore. That's kind of interesting. I mean, take sannyas and then he renounces everything for sake of the Lord to gain the powers actually to come back to the original state of being a progenitor. So that's something in general in the Vedic scriptures that definitely it's not encouraged at all. It's something that it's not considered such an advanced thing. Just to point out, we won't go much into detail. But Daksha here, interestingly, he takes that kind of a position again in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to fulfill particular desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is to provide the living entities different kinds of body through which they could fulfill different kind of desires and ultimately come to the point of liberation through which they can attain the lotus feet of Krishna and leave this material world altogether. So this may be sounding like some kind of an excuse for us as well to try to increase some of our services and devotion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here we have to be very careful, because this might not be necessarily the case. This is why we are always under direct scrutiny of some higher authority that will guide us properly, and we shouldn't be very speculative about it. There has been many cases in even our society earlier that in order to increase the service or to make it more effective, you know, devotees would sometimes fall back down into the different kinds of positions, but utilizing these as in some kind of an excuse, or again presenting it as some kind of an opportunity to increase the preaching in itself. So that's not definitely the case, and we should be very much aware of that and beware of that. Like, there has been one case of one devotee who was a GBC, and then he was a sannyasi, but then he decided to come to the Grihastha Ashram, pointing out to Srila Prabhupada that actually the reason is that the person whom I'm going to marry is very wealthy, and that wealth can be very much utilized in the service of Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness will expand. So actually Prabhupada, of course, was very clear about what's going on, but somehow not to discourage that very same person, so he allowed him to do so. And later on it turned out that actually that particular excuse in itself for entering into the Grihastha Ashram was not correct in the first place at all. It was a complete bluff actually by that person who was marrying the devotee who was a GBC devotee. Anyway, so this is something that we have to be very careful, we have to be very aware that, and beware again, as I said, that sometimes we don't lapse into some kind of excuses, you know, into some kind of situations where we think that preaching might expand or services might expand, but actually something that is pretty much degrading and something that won't actually help anyone in the devotional progress. So we should be very careful about it. Although sometimes some opportunity seems like very promising, but taking unnecessarily risks is very dangerous. So we shouldn't venture out of any kind of a shelter that is mentioned here. We will be talking a little bit about shelter and protection that Krishna is giving to us. We should be very, very careful. And this is the same reason, very reason, why we are having different kinds of authorities and different kinds of guides and protectors here, as it is pointed out, so that we can be protected. We can be sheltered in our devotional life. That creeper should be very, very carefully preserved. Jai Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ki Jai, Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So therefore here these prayers, as it has been pointed out earlier, Daksha is offering those prayers, and as it is seen, he's pointing out like the different that the sons, the prachetas, have been performing various types of austerities. We know that by performance of various types of austerities, persons gain a lot of power, and therefore they can perform various kinds of tasks as well. So prachetas have been performing various types of austerities. And as mentioned, the whole earth, because of improper guidance, actually without having any particular kind of a leader, had become covered with those trees, with different kinds of plants as such. And therefore, the situation was very much intolerable and very difficult for the citizens to bear. As well as for the prachetas, once they've completed their austerities, when they found out that this is the case, they became very angry, because they found the situation to be very much unsuitable for any kind of practical living purposes. So here also in this verse in itself, once they started burning all these different kinds of trees, the Soma, moon god, intervened and pacified the prachetas to cease from those kind of activities, because the trees are also here mentioned to be the citizens of theirs, since they are the ones who are the authorities and the leaders, rulers of that particular or this particular place, the planet in itself. So there are various conceptions that people consider to be something that is related to them or something that might be identical to them. Here, from the Vedic point of view, we understand that, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that all the living entities are practically in that sense identical, since they are to be given protection. They are not to be discriminated against. Now, in the general sense, when anybody speaks about any kind of nationality, Prabhupada very often brings that point out. He says that only refers to the human beings, not to the animals, not to the, what to speak of, plants or anything else, any kind of other living entities. It only refers to the human beings who have been born in a particular place. So this is the conception of nationality. There is one even more, so to say, restricted conception that has been developed in Europe, and particularly by Germany, the consideration of nationality, or somebody who is to be considered like a person of the same, living in that same place or having the same kind of the idea and same kind of a identification as others, is also restricted by religion. By religion. And some various other kinds of things. So that's even further drifting, so to say, away from the Vedic conception of life, which here, as we find, is including all living entities. Prabhupada said, if all living entities, the different living entities have appeared on this particular place, then they should be also considered to be citizens of that particular state or a country. There is no definitely any kind of discrimination here, and all are eligible to be protected and given shelter of. Not that they are being exploited. So of course, that kind of a vision comes with the understanding of the every living entity having a same spirit kind of a soul, and not just discriminating on basis of particular type of a body, which is of course very narrow-minded kind of a conception. Vedic conception always is far more broader than any kind of other conception based on the material body. So all these kinds of living entities, as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, are to be protected, are to be given shelter, and therefore they shouldn't be discriminated against. So trees here also, as the moon god is addressing prachetas, should be also given protection. And they should not be killed. Only case when some kind of a killing is allowed is, of course, sometimes there is a burden, like during the Mahabharata war, we understand that that great burden was created by the demonic population, and that burden had to be, the earth had to be relieved of that particular burden. And then, of course, Krishna makes different kinds of arrangements. So whenever there is a particular type of a burden on this planet, then Krishna makes an arrangement to relieve the planet from that burden in itself. So here, the similar situation is taking place where the trees are covering the whole planet, and prachetas are being very upset. And it is mentioned that they have become very angry. So to that extent that they are burning all these trees down into the ashes. So trees, we know, are very useful, and trees can be utilized for various kinds of purposes, and they should be just kind of rejected as such. Krishna points out trees or plants or any kind of other living entities as such. Krishna points out that even those who eat vegetables, yagyashishtashina santom uchante sarva kilbishe bujante tetvagam papaya pachanti atmakarana, that even those who are vegetarians, so to say, they're also, if they don't offer that particular food to the Lord, they're also sinners because they're killing. So any kind of killing definitely is discouraged in the Vedic scriptures. Everything should be offered to the Lord. Here, if somebody is just acting as the prachetas in one way, just burning even trees down to the ashes just because of anger, that's also very much condemnable. It's not something that it's at all praiseworthy. Srila Prabhupada, there were many instances. There was one case where Satsvarup Maharaj mentions in a Gurukul, they cut one tree down. And once when Srila Prabhupada came and he asked, where is that tree? that for whichever reason, you know, that Sri Maharaj explained, that they cut that tree down, Prabhupada got very upset. That why unnecessarily killing the trees? Even sometimes, you know, we will find many times in the gardens it happens, people shape the trees in different forms just to look kind of attractive. But that's like if you consider, you know, if we have also different limbs, if somebody would shape our limbs in the way they consider to be very attractive and nice, we wouldn't be very appreciative of. So that's also something that we have to be very careful about, because they're also living entities. They also do have a consciousness, although not such a developed consciousness, but it's something that, you know, it definitely affects them. Especially here, like in the temple, we find many different trees, which in one sense they're practically holy trees. Of course, not to mention Tulsi, that is there. We have to be careful, but all the other trees, all the other living entities, and we are all responsible for them, whatever happened. Although they have a lesser consciousness, but whoever has a higher consciousness is considered here, as it is pointed out, to be responsible for their lives. And they shouldn't be exploited, they shouldn't be just cut or misused in any kind of way. So it's a great responsibility. And that definitely we can understand that if any living entity appears in the temple premises, so to say, it's some kind of a special living entity. It's not just an ordinary living being. Because temple is definitely a Vaikuntha atmosphere. So that kind of a living entity definitely has some kind of a either pious credit or even spiritual to the higher extent, you know, that it had appeared in such a particular place. So all the living entities are supposed to be given such shelter here, as it pointed out. So we shouldn't discriminate, and we shouldn't have, you know, we shouldn't have that misunderstanding that, again, you know, we are limiting shelter, protection, we are limiting care only for either, say, fellow human beings or whatever narrow, more-minded, different ways of conception there might be. It also should be extended, as Prabhupada is pointing out here in the purport, to all the living entities. And that is that broad-mindedness of the Vedic scriptures, understanding that soul, living soul is there within all the living beings, with all the living creatures. And we should be very careful about it. Like it said, even in the holy places, we should very much beware of killing even in mosquitoes. Prabhupada sometimes said if it bites, that sometimes if it happens, you know, then he said it's by the law of the nature, then maybe it can happen. But we should avoid it, basically. We shouldn't kill any kind of living entity. Of course, as Prabhupada Maharaj states in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, snakes and scorpions, sadhus are happy when they are killed. Of course, but that is there for their benefit, because of their envious nature and promotion to different higher type of the body. But in general, it shouldn't happen that we always look for them and search around and, you know, try to kill them. And so that's very often the case, it happens. So we should be very careful about it. It's very simple. As we were reading earlier, few months back, that fifth canto, end of the fifth canto, there is a hell, particular hell for those who kill bugs, different kinds of bugs. So it's a torture, even a sign for everyone who kills different kinds of even mosquitoes or cockroaches or bed bugs and stuff. Sometimes it is difficult, but Prabhupada would point out it's better to prevent things. Prevention is far better than having to deal in such a horrible way. Like many times, like when on the altar, sometimes Prabhupada would receive complaints that there, or he would see personally there are some cockroaches running, and then devotees were handling them in a very rough way, and then Prabhupada wasn't happy about it. He said, better to clean the place from the prasadam, from so many different kinds of things, and then the cockroach and ants, they won't come. So better to prevent. So they're also about to be given protection. And not be just dealt in such a ignorant way, actually, sinful way. So protection is very necessary, because in Vedic, as we know, culture, which is, again, pointing out such a broad culture, including all the living entities, special protection is to be given, as it is mentioned, to cows, to women, to brahmanas, and to children, because they're helpless. Here also, because trees have been mentioned, we can also include the trees as well, because they're helpless. The whole point behind this is that we understand that those who don't have a power to defend themselves, and they take shelter of any other person who is, so to say, having capacity to protect others, then they should be given that particular protection. That is the duty. As here pointed out, the king, it is the duty of the king, it is the duty of the government to give protection and shelter to everyone. Not again just to discriminate against this or that, any kind of living entity. When Kali, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Kali appeared personified as a Shudra, as a king, he was a Shudra but dressed as a king, and beating the bull, and then finally after all this episode took place, he took shelter of King Parikshit. And as understanding that the duty of a king, Parikshit didn't have any other option but to offer him that shelter. He offered him shelter because although Kali personified was such a sin personified as well, King Parikshit offered him a shelter. And of course, that time there was no any other place that Kali would be requesting, so at least Parikshit Maharaj found a place in the gold. He said him, okay, you find your shelter here at this particular place. So we all need some kind of a shelter. Even though we might be devotees and sometimes having a little higher consciousness or whatever, we're still looking for some kind of a shelter. We're still looking for some kind of a protection. Very often we feel encouraged. We feel like some pretty much bold, you know, in this fight against material energy. But quite often we also feel pretty much discouraged and sometimes despondent and even depressive. Many times it happens in the spiritual life. So we always need some kind of a shelter. We need some kind of a protection as well. And this is the reason why we are fortunate in that sense that we can approach some kind of an authority, therefore, who can offer that shelter. If we don't do that, if we just think that on our own, somehow we can manage in the spiritual life, then things can become very, very difficult. Very difficult. The example of a devotee who takes shelter of the Lord, it is said it's like a fish in this great material ocean, which is filled with crocodiles and sharks, very dangerous situations. You know, devotee is like a small fish, Kaveli, very, very small fish, and he's swimming, even sometimes against the current. And he's able to do that. Why? Because he's taking the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. In a similar way, it is explained, as the fish is taking shelter of the river, of the water. The example explains that sometimes even elephants are washed by the rushing streams, flooding streams of the river. But that small fish, nothing happens ever to that small fish. So even sometimes, if we think, you know, that we are so small and insignificant, but still, even if we take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing will ever happen. Because we have taken shelter of that particular very ocean, or the place that we live in. But if you don't take the shelter, then there is definitely every chance of being washed away with that particular current. As we know, what is the current of now modern materialistic society? Just more and more indulgence in sense gratification and performing as much more sinful activities as possible. And that is something like prachetas also. If there is no control of the sensual activities, then definitely that is something that is very, very dangerous. Because it will stray us away from the path of devotional service. So here, again, as earlier it has been pointed out, prachetas have been angry. And of course we know, has been explained, anger can be utilized in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But not the uncontrollable anger. Anger has to be controlled. It has to be for that higher purpose, which wasn't the case here with the prachetas themselves. So therefore, if we don't take a proper shelter, and shelter here means to follow the instructions of Krishna. If this doesn't happen, then definitely, you know, we'll be washed away, we'll be carried away. And this temple is a shelter. Everything beyond it, it's the dangerous ocean of material life. So if you're not serious, if you're not really taking that shelter seriously, then anything may happen. So we have to be very cautious. And that's not just the external. Like here we are talking about something that happens internal as well. Uncontrolled senses. Or any kind of influence that may result in such kind of uncontrolled senses. And this is again why we take shelter of the authorities. And therefore these different kinds of relationships also very much matter. Because if that is not utilized and that is not followed, then again there is every danger of slipping and falling away. Like in Ramayana, when the Sita was protected by the Lakshman Rekha, she was very much aware, she knew that she's not supposed to cross that line. But Ravana was very expert. He took the he assumed the shape, he disguised himself as a Brahmin, very meek, very humble, very helpless practically person who is hungry and in search for some kind of a charity. And he knew very well what is the weak point of Sita in that sense. And that was her gentle, compassionate nature. So he was begging from her some fruits, some charity. And Sita, having such kind of a gentle, compassionate nature, she explained that you have to come and take it. I'm not able to come beyond this particular line because this has been the order of my superiors. But Ravana tricked her, pretending to be very weak and unable to grasp the fruits himself. And he forced in that way Sita, who had that compassionate nature, to come out of that particular circle of protection. And then we know what followed. So in a similar way, the temple and the instructions of Krishna are that shelter and protection that is offered to us. But if we venture beyond, for whichever reason, whichever our some kind of a weak point might be, then it can become pretty dangerous. So this is something that we have to be pretty much aware. And therefore this protection here, as it pointed, it is essential to be very much imposed upon us or any living entities who are not capable of protecting themselves. So this is why I'm bringing it up, because we very often, we sometimes, you know, we are too bold with material energy, with Maya. Prabhupada said, like, to the devotees in the West, that there is one great fault that, you know, devotees have, that this is that they're not afraid of Maya. And that's why many different kinds of obstacles take shape and many horrible things happen, because devotees are not afraid of Maya. They're taking it very much for granted, or they're taking it very, very lightly. That it's not also something that it might influence me. And this is where the authority, like in that particular case, Srila Prabhupada, they have to point this out over and over and over until we become serious about following the instructions. Because as soon as we don't follow instructions, we are out of that circle of protection. And we become vulnerable. So Maya knows, Maya is very expert how to drift us away from that protection, which we rightly deserve by the whole Vedic culture. Everybody, all the living entities, again without discrimination, everybody has that particular chance of being protected and given shelter of. But if we consider ourselves more advanced or more powerful than material energy, then of course there is every chance of falling down. So Krishna points out that in this world everybody is given protection. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, Rakhi Krishna Marake, Mare Krishna Marake. If anybody takes shelter of Krishna, definitely, you know, there's nothing that can kill that person or harm that person. But if Krishna wants to harm that particular person, then there's nothing that can protect that person. So in any case, we should definitely take protection of Krishna. And then what happens? Krishna explains that such devotee never perishes. That devotee will never be lost. Kaunteya pratijani hiname bhakta pranashati. No matter what happens, that devotee, even if he commits sometimes even if something happens and devotee slips away from the devotional path, but it's still, if somehow he is determined to gain again shelter of Krishna, Krishna will never forget that. And that devotee is never lost. Because even if something accidentally happens, Krishna will bring him back to that same path that he was on earlier. So Krishna gives that shelter, Krishna gives that protection. So very often when we are exposed to the material energy, therefore Prabhupada points out, you know, we are endangered. Therefore the whole morning program as offered as a sadhana has been emphasized over and over. Why? Because it inoculates us from all this materialistic, dangerous influence. If that is not the case, then it can become very difficult. Then we can become very easily contaminated and very easily fall prey to material energy. So there, in scriptures, there are a lot of different kinds of instances how this shelter of Krishna is so wonderful. And this is one of the topics itself of the Mahabharata and even Bhagavatam of the Puranas, how Krishna's relationship with the devotees, that ashraya, that shelter, that protection that Krishna offers of those who take shelter. Very often devotees sometimes, you know, they meet with the materialistic people, they sometimes, like when the book distribution goes on, you shake hands and so many different kinds of things. Everything can influence, any small thing can contaminate a devotee. But in Sankirtan, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna protects directly that the devotee from any kind of negative influence. Or sometimes people touch your feet or something similar as such. And that also may have an influence. Pretty negative influence on everyone who is exposed to such kind of a dealing. There was one very interesting case in Ireland. Ireland is a small country next to Great Britain. And Prithu Prabhu tells this story. He was living there for many years. He was preaching there in those areas. And he said that once one boy joined the temple and he was very young and his mother was very upset about it. So then what happened? After some time, after some exchange of letters and phone calls, still there was no any, you know, the boy was very determined to be a brahmachari. And then after some time, his uncle came. And then uncle started discussing with Prithu Prabhu. He said that, you know, his mother is upset, better tell this boy to go home. And then Prithu Prabhu was arguing. He said that this boy is 23 years old. He's not a small child. If he wants to stay in the temple, he can stay in the temple. So it's up to him. But that uncle was insisting, no, you have to tell him that he has to come back home. But Prithu Prabhu said, no, I'm not going to tell him. It's his decision. And then his uncle said, if you don't do that, then something will happen. And Prithu Prabhu asked, what, you're threatening to me? And then this person said, yes. And then In the meantime, Prithu Prabhu, he was friend with some priest, and that priest came, and then after that person left, that priest told him, you know who that person is? And then he said, I don't know who that person is. He said, he is the general of the Protestant army. In Ireland there is some conflict, anyway, it's going on for more than 500 years between Protestants and Catholics, and there are a lot of terrorism taking place. So that person was a very influential person on that Protestant side. And, you know, for them to murder, to kill, or do any kind of some kind of terrorist kind of activity, it's nothing. It's not a big deal. It's not a problem at all. So therefore he was threatening. And then he Prithu Prabhu said, I'm living here in this place for already 14 years. Why am I not going to leave that place? Why should I leave? But that priest said, you know, unless you, actually, if I would on your place, I would book my plane ticket, I would leave immediately. Immediately. So it's a very, very threatening situation. But Prithu Prabhu resolved, he said, no, I'm going to stay, no matter what happens. And then after a few hours, actually, it was interesting, after a few hours, that priest somehow, he got the information, he called Prithu Prabhu and he said, do you know what just happened? And Prithu Prabhu was pretty much in anxiety, what happened? Because he had been threatened, you know, what's going on now? So he said that the other party, the IRA, found out that general was visiting the temple. And they set up the bomb somewhere where the car was parked in some other street. And when that person entered the car, he was blown off. He was killed. So it's an interesting story, actually. We won't say that maybe Krishna was involved directly. But a devotee, you know, taking shelter of Krishna, and not being threatened by anything materialistic, gets protected. He doesn't get, you know, harmed by anyone or anything. It's just a matter of that consciousness. It's a matter of how do we take shelter. We know taking shelter or surrender, again, it's one of the very most important items of the devotional life. So if we take shelter, if we have that consciousness, no matter who threats or whatever happens, many times in the different, you know, Middle Eastern countries and even various places, I mean, it happened. There are so many stories. Devotees have experiences taking shelter of Krishna and being protected by Krishna. So that's the ultimate kind of protection that we can expect, and definitely as a devotee, because Krishna had given his promise. So there is no reason why he wouldn't fulfill it. But also on the behalf of Krishna here, as it is pointed out, those who rule the citizens and all kinds of citizens, it is their duty to offer protection as well. So this is something that shouldn't be neglected. The best type of surrender and shelter being offered is definitely by Krishna himself. But of course, if that is not the case, and those who rule on his behalf, they should be also ready to offer that protection as well to all living, other living entities. Not just, again, when we speak in this case about, say, devotees or other living entities. For Krishna, there is no difference. Sarva yonishu kanteya murtaya sambhavantiyaha. For Krishna, there is no difference. Everyone is deserving to have that shelter and protection. Only, of course, sometimes, as we said here, there are some cases where some kind of a burden takes place because of very sinful activities or sinful kind of population that, you know, that kind of burden has to be removed. But otherwise, it is very sinful to kill any kind of living entity. So in the summary, the whole idea here behind this verse itself is that whoever doesn't have that strength, whoever doesn't have that power, if he takes shelter, and even if he doesn't, actually, he should be protected. That particular living entity, he should be given all kinds of protection, all kinds of shelter. And he shouldn't be, you know, his particular dependence shouldn't be taken off so lightly. Because, as explained here in Bhagavatam, it is very simple. And here, prachetas were definitely saved by the soma in such a way from performing various kinds of sinful activities. Because this is something that would definitely take away all this pious credit for which they were performing austerities in the first place. We know also how Dhruva Maharaj, when he became angry with the Yakshas who killed his brother, he started killing them indiscriminately. And he had been warned therefore to stop that killing, because his intelligence had been covered by that anger. So this is why we have to transcend all these lower urges, lower qualities that can very often cover our intelligence, our knowledge, because they lead to the sinful activities and sinful reactions. So in that sense, that protection is required, and it's rightly expected from the authorities, and also authorities themselves definitely should somehow make sure that everybody feels sheltered and protected. Because by the very nature of our existence, we need a shelter. We need some kind of a shelter. Like, as Nisimananda Prabhu was pointing out earlier, like one of those kinds of point brought up, maybe some kind of a shelter of the either medical care or some kind of a living facility. That's also something that devotees definitely, that they require some kind of a shelter. And they'll always look kind of a shelter. It's one of the propensities, but basic propensity of every living entity. So that in the sense should be definitely provided. But it's not something that it should be in a sense, again, expected. Like those who enter into the spiritual life, if they take full shelter of Krishna, not necessarily, again, they might be demanding anything as such. I mean, I personally remember it when, I don't know, at least that attitude, when I joined the ashram, I never thought of future, what will happen, or that I just had full, somehow earlier, Krishna gives some impetus more, you know, you just completely forget about everything in, you know, about future life, so to say, of complete somehow trust and faith in Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. You never consider, you know, what's going to happen, whether you're going to get old or, you know, somehow you don't think about these things, I don't know, diseased or something. You don't care about it.
like Medicare insurance or anything like this. I mean, in one sense, it's completely out of the. You don't even. It never crosses your mind at all. But definitely, it is important. I mean, somehow, still the body is running, we are not considering that in at all. But of course, as the body gets older, then it becomes a different story. That is there. But somehow we see that Krishna somehow he makes some kind of an arrangement, and then we shouldn't so much, I mean, worry about it. Of course, it is something that authorities should worry about it, as mentioned here. But the devotees themselves, they shouldn't be over burdened by such kind of thoughts. At least that's one of the qualities of those who enter into sannyas ashram or the brahmachari ashram, that they should be fearless. Of course, doesn't mean ignorant or doesn't mean careless, but at least having some kind of a faith in Krishna, that Krishna will, through any way, through any means, make some kind of an arrangement. Ultimately, that's of course very high consciousness. I'm not pointing out that this is something that, you know, everybody should be immediately, you know, or it's possible to come to that kind of higher consciousness immediately. But somehow having some faith in Krishna, at least I personally can testify that, you know, whatever throughout the years had happened, you know, Krishna always somewhat made some kind of an arrangement, one kind of an arrangement or another. And that we shouldn't be over-obsessed with some kind of a bodily demands as such in itself. I'm not trying to say that it's not important or it's not required. It is, but it does happen. It has to be definitely brought out. But again, Krishna is the one who ultimately, even in that case, acts and changes things in the most appropriate manner. So this is what means, you know, that protection that everybody actually requires, and how it manifests itself just by the mercy of Krishna himself. So I'll stop here. Hare Krishna, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Nisimananda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Abhuta Hari Prabhu, for a very enlightening talk. Well, a couple of observations. Where do I start? First of all, there's an old saying, expect miracles, don't count on them. So, in the case of being protected by Krishna, you know, there's the example, I mean, we have so many examples of devotees who have perished. Physically perished in automobile accidents or diseases and so on, and not really friendly ones either. The most striking example is the one of Ladini Shakti in Africa, who was taken with the other devotees there and summarily shot. Executed. And she was executed because, in addition, she tried to stop the other, this rebel leader from killing the other devotees. She said, she walked up to him and she says, "You can't do that. That's an offense. That's an aparad." And he just shot her in the head and killed her. In 1971, I was in New Brindavan, and the gophers were eating the garden. And Kirtananda Maharaj and Hari Griva were there, and they asked Prabhupada, "What do they do?" They wrote to him, and he wrote back. He says, "Well, you can, if they won't leave, get a gun and shoot them." So they got a gun, you know. I remember as I was in New Bhakta, Bhakta Dave, you know, and they would go down towards the ravine where these gophers were hanging out, I guess, and I'd hear these popping sounds. You know, what's going on down there? You know, they were, you know, shooting at these gophers. And one time, Nanda Kumar, he was massaging Prabhupada's back, and mosquitoes were hovering And he didn't want to, you know, hit Prabhupada's back and kill the mosquito on his back. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, what do I do? And you notice nobody's sleeping right now? And Prabhupada said, well, first you request them nicely to leave. Then, if they don't leave, you warn them, if you don't leave, I'm going to kill you. And if they don't leave, you can kill them. Now, I have 2 acres that I take care of in California. And I own a chainsaw. And I don't know if anybody here has ever operated a chainsaw, but they're very powerful. You can cut down trees pretty easily with a chainsaw. And I've cut down my share of trees. And I love trees. I planted over 100 trees on that property. And I even have some trees registered as, you know, oaks that are 400 or 500 years old. California oaks. So I adore trees. But sometimes those trees create problems, like fire. We had some pine trees. They were growing way too tall. And pine trees have a lot of resin in them. So I had to cut these trees down because we live on a hill and the fire comes up the hill. And then all those cones get on fire and then they're carried into the crevices of the house and they will ignite the homes in its path. And they'll be carried for miles, these flaming pine cones. So I had to cut down the trees. And, you know, you have to sometimes tend your garden. Those trees, some trees are now gotten so big that they interfere with the sun. And I have 48 solar panels, and I get shade on the solar panels. So I got to cut the... you just can trim the trees. Sometimes you have to cut a tree down. So why am I saying all this? Because it's so easy in class for us to make these summary statements, you know, about how we're going to, Krishna's going to protect us and how we have to protect all the trees. And, you know, I've seen what happens is that we kind of live in this schizophrenia, this world of, gosh, what do I do? It says in the Shastra that only a demon cuts down trees. And I'm out there with my chainsaw and I'm cutting down trees. You know, and I'm in kind of a split personality. Who am I? What am I doing? And how does it work when there's some mosquito and he's, you know, constantly buzzing your ear and you're trying to sleep? And, you know, at some point you just, I think every one of us has just gone like that. Right? We all hit our ear. I don't care if I kill that darn thing. I'm going to kill it. Hare Krishna. Huh? Who has not done that? Which one of us? So, my comment is made only not to negate anything that you said, but to add a little balance. So that because I care so much for all of you, I don't want you to walk away from here feeling, you know, gosh, I'm going to go to that planet where all the insects are. I got such an ant problem in my house. I finally found the only thing that took care of the ants was this powder that was so poisonous they don't even sell it in the state of California. Which is, you know, you can't even buy it there. But you put that ant powder around, and within hours, the ants won't come anywhere near where that powder is. And those that came in it, they're still there. You know, they just die on the spot. It's like Auschwitz, you know. You're gone. Do I feel guilty? I don't know. I ask those ants nicely every year, don't come in. You've got the whole world out there. And they still keep coming. What to do? You know, we live in this world and we have to make decisions constantly that balance the Shastra with our practical experience. So I just want to kind of give that as those examples, like particularly the one of being protected. I never ask Krishna for physical protection. I ask Krishna to protect my bhakti lata. But my body, why should I ask Krishna to protect? I mean, I got my karma. It's supposed to be there. It's for me to learn. That's what it's meant for. So I don't think that, I need to ask Krishna to protect my body. For my consciousness, it's kind of selfish from my point of view. Nor do I expect him to protect anybody else's body. But I do pray for spiritual protection. And I often say, when people are in a car and they don't have their seatbelts on, I say, Krishna, you ask Krishna to protect you, but you're not even willing to put your seatbelt on. Krishna gives you the seatbelt. And if you get killed and you go and see Krishna, what happened? I thought you were protecting me. Krishna, I was, but you didn't put the seatbelt on. I gave you the seatbelt. So what is our seatbelt in life? It's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It protects us, gives us some intelligence, how to balance these things. And as we advance, hopefully, in devotional life, we make those distinctions more and more wisely. But they will always be there. There's no black and whites. It's really gray. Every moment is almost that like that in the material world. Thank you.
Now there is a time to protect even Tulsi plant. Scientists have developed genetically modified Tulsi plant to extract more oil from the leaves, which is very commercially valuable. So they are altering the Tulsi plant. So just like cow, we might have to protect even the Tulsi plant. That time has come. In the West, scientists have, on a large scale, developed this type of variety, genetically modified Tulsi. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.